get back on this series of messages that we've been preaching on getting back to the basics. Now, we've preached on getting back to the basics in salvation, what it means to be saved and how to be saved. Christ done the work for that. We've seen that. We preached on the assurance of our salvation and the eternity of our salvation. There is eternal security in the Lord. And but today I want to preach, having a thought on getting back to the basics and that of separation. As Baptists, and I'm Baptist, by the way. There's a reason I'm Baptist, but I'm Baptist. I'm, you know, the old saying is Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. And that's just the way it is. I was raised Baptist. I know what Baptists believe. They believe the Bible. We do believe in the salvation and the redemption of the sinner by faith, and that through grace, and that by itself. We believe in eternal security, but that's just Bible doctrine. Baptists believe Bible doctrine. People are kicking Baptists off the sign. I don't know how we got here, but it's good, ain't it? Amen. And I think you'll just be what you're going to be. And don't be afraid of what you're going to be. We're getting in time today where folk are afraid to be Baptist because, you know, somebody said one time, well, you're Baptist, so, you know, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't dance, and you ain't got no fun, and all these things. That's what people think separation really is. And by the way, that is part of it. There are some things that God does not want you to do and does not want me to do. And that's part of what separation is. But when we get separated from one thing or one person, and that too, something else. And you have to understand that in separation. Look in Romans chapter 12, look in verse 1. You pray for me now. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can be seated this morning. Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, I pray your touch during the preaching time. Lord, I'm very unworthy to stand right here this morning. And God, we certainly beg for your help. We certainly need your help. And Lord, I just pray that you'd do something for these dear people and do something for me today. And Lord, I'm going to try to give them what you've gave me, and I'm going to try to be very, very attentive and obedient to the Holy Spirit today. But if you'll work in my heart and these folks' hearts, God, something will help us today, and it'll be you. God, save somebody that might be lost, encourage the saint that needs encouragement, and Lord, we'll give you the glory and save that sinner that's nearest hell for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we get saved, there is a change that takes place on the inside of us. Now, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so we know and understand that when salvation comes in, when Jesus comes in and sets up in our life, there is something that changes on the inside of us. And I would like to hope and pray that that change that takes place on the inside of us would spill over to the outside of us. And I believe when you get saved, it'll come out of you. I really believe that. But let me say this today, that if we don't grow and that in the Lord, then it's just going to seem like there's not much of a change. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm getting started. I may need a long runway to get took off here. But in Ephesians chapter 4, and I've told some of you all this over the years in preaching, these verses used to bother me a little bit in trying to gain the understanding on them. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he says in verse 25, wherefore putting away. And so he tells us right here, he says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. That former conversation is talking about the old way that you live. That word conversation, you all know or should know. It's talking about your deportment and how you carry yourself and how you present yourself and how you are. And he said to put off the old man. God didn't say he would put off the old man for you. He said for us to put off the old man. Now, and those things always used in my mind, Brother Hunter, would contradict what was going on up there, and I couldn't reconcile them until one day that I just realized that Christ changed the inside of me, and it's up to me to change the outside of me. Now, that's just the simplest way that I know how to say it. Now, I'm glad that God helps us change the outside. Now, I'm not going to leave him out of that at all, because I'm going to be honest with you, you're going to need his strength and power and courage and that to change who you are. Listen, we cannot change ourselves. I understand that. Listen, that's reformation. If I'm talking about changing things, if you try to change without Christ, it's reformation. But boy, when we're changed by him and with him and through him, it's transformation. Thank God for that. And we'll look at that a little bit. But notice what he said right here. He said that what? He said that you put off the former conversation, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'll deal with that. And he said that you put on the new man. He said we're to put off the other. Remember what I said? You're separated from one thing and that to another. When you get separated from your old man and you put off the old ways and the old things and the old ways of doing things, then you're going to be separated and that to the new man who's got new actions, new thoughts, new ways, and everything about God. And that's what separation begins with. Romans 6, he tells us to walk in newness of life. I think you ought to walk like you've been saved. I think you ought to act like you've been. You've been saved, you ought to act like it. Amen. That's just the bottom line. Me and you ought to act like we're saved today if we're saved. Listen, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about being separated and that out of this world. Now, you know the word separate means to divide or to sever or to what? Or to part or to set apart. You know, the Bible talks about, I believe it is in the book of Acts chapter 13, that God separated Paul and Barnabas and that for his work. You know what that means? He took Paul and Barnabas from all the saints that was over there and he pulled them apart and set them by themselves and put them in the ministry to do what he had had them to do. We're to be separate. He said, what did he say in Romans? We're to be saved. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we're to be different than, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'm just trying to lay some foundation here. He says, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, that goes in every stage of life and every part of life. You don't need to be married to an unbeliever. If you get saved after you get married, that's one thing. Listen, you pray and God will hopefully save them. You need to be not unequally yoked together in business. There's just everything in our life. We need to be yoked up with the right people and the right things. He says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So as I preach on getting back to the basics and that of separation, there used to be a time when people just believed the Bible and would separate themselves from the things that they had no business and that being around. Whether it was letting things in your home that had no business being there, or around people that you didn't need to be around, or doing things that you didn't need to do, but it seems like now, how do people don't care? You know that word basic, getting back to the basic, is forming an essential foundation or a starting point or a fundamental. I believe it is a fundamental doctrine in the Bible that Christians are to be different and to be separate from this world. Titus puts it like this. He says that we're to be peculiar people. Now, I was saving this statement for later on in the message if I get to say it, so I'm just going to say it now. Did you know that if you believe in and that you perform biblical separation, people will think you're weird? Amen. People will think you're weird if you perform biblical separation. I'm not going the rest of the world. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to raise my kids different than the world. I'm going to act different than the world. I'm just saying, people think you're crazy if you want to be separated out of this world. Can I tell you that God desires, but let me ask you, I'm going to ask you a question. It's loaded, so I'll just go ahead and tell you it's loaded. Can you live in this world? Can you be like this world? And won't act, and let me say this, I'm going to put a parenthetical point in a parenthetical point here. Can you serve two masters? Well, we all know the story there, don't we? We all know what Jesus says. No man can serve two masters. They love one, hate the other, cleave to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters. So if you're trying to be part of the world and trying to serve God at the same time, you're miserable. I mean, you're getting pulled from both sides and shot at from both sides. I mean, it's going to wear you out. But let me ask you this today. If God told us in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wife. He first says in Ephesians 5:22, I believe he said for wives to be submitted to their own husbands. Then he says for husbands to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, what's that got to do with that? You read the rest of that chapter and you go on down through there and he says, but I'm talking about how that Christ is with the church. The very example that he gives in his relationship and that with Christ and the church is like marriage. How many of you men are going to share your wife with somebody else? How many of you wives are going to share your husbands with somebody else? Now let me ask you this today. Do you think Christ wants to share you with anybody else? Do you think that he wants to share you with the world? Does you think he wants to share me with the world? No, he wants me to be devoted and that to him and be his. I think that's what my wife wants out of me. That's what I want out of my wife. But let's look in the text verse and see what it says. Romans chapter 12, look in verse 1. I'm not sure we'll get all this done today. I said I was going to need a long runway. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Notice what God is dealing with in these verses right here. He's dealing with your body, with your flesh. You know, it is with this body that we live in the world or that we live for God. Did you know that? Listen, it's with this is what he left us down here to live with. A lot of people say, well, I'll live for God on the inside. If you're going to live for him on the inside, you're going to have to live for him on the outside. I mean, that's just how it is, friend. I mean, I don't know any other way to do it. You cannot separate the two, one from the other. If you're going to live for him, you're going to have to live for him in what you've got, and that's your flesh today. Hey, can I tell you that your body, your flesh, there was a payment made for you. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 6, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, when Christ went to Calvary and gave himself for you so that you could get saved and you trusted him to be your Savior, friend, he bought and paid for you and you are now his. You don't belong to you anymore. We get saved and then we act like it's us that gets to call the shots on things. It ain't us. It's us being submitted unto that, to His will. What did He say in the latter part of verse 2? That what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You realize that's what He wants out of you, is His will for your life. Notice He said right here that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit come and set up on the inside. And He said, you're not your own. When I preached on modesty, those three messages on modesty. You remember what I preached on when I was talking about getting a tattoo? You remember what I said? You know, we don't even own this house that we're living in. You think if you're renting a house from somebody and you wanted to paint a big yellow butterfly out there on the side of it, don't you think you ought to talk to your landlord before you do that? Some of y'all still trying to figure that thing out. What is He talking about? You don't own you. You're just leasing this body, renting this body, living however you want to look at it. You don't own it anymore. You got saved, it become His to do with, not ours. You're just renting it. You're just living in it, friend. He's paid for us. We're not our own. And notice what He said, for you're bought with a price. And that was the price of Jesus' blood at Calvary. Oh, we sang about the old rugged cross this morning. Then He said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So notice He gave, now that's not talking about the Holy Spirit right there. That's talking about your spirit. Glorify God in your body. Let your body do right things. Have right actions. Have right thoughts. Do you ever have wrong thoughts? If you have right thoughts all the time, please tell me what you do. Because I need some help. But I don't dwell on wrong things. You know, when them, you ever had something just, and you go, man, where'd that come from? Now, if you dwell on that thing, you're going to get in trouble. Don't dwell on it. Get it out there. Put good things. I've learned this, the more that I put good stuff in my mind, that book right there, Philippians 4, talks about think on these things, you know. What's holy, anything's got virtue, all those things. He talks about think on these things. So we try to think right and do it. I talked to somebody one time. I won't tell you who it was. But she told me, I called her and I asked her. Well, it was just my sister. I'll tell you that. And she plans her day. And when I say she plans her day, I mean she plans her day. I mean, I guarantee you she's already got her day planned for tomorrow. She knows what she's doing. And she's going to stay busy up until it's time to go to bed. She likes to be busy. You know, it's good for us to be busy, ain't it? Good for our mind to be busy. You know, idleness is a bad thing for the mind. It's a real bad thing for the mind. And I asked her one day, I said, sister, you stay busy all the time simply to help your mind and all these things. She said, look, she says, my mind can get in some crazy way sometimes if I don't keep it occupied and keep it working and doing right. And boy, I thought, boy, how true that is. You know, it's okay to be idle a little bit, just a little bit. And I mean just a little bit to rest and find rest in Him and to let our body rest. But I'm going to tell you, laziness and idleness will kill us, friend. It'll wear us out. I'm getting off on something else. But He said what right here? He said, glorify God in your body. It's in this body that we glorify God. You know how you praise the Lord? You know why some of us raised our hands this morning? We're praising, we're glorifying Him in our body. You know when we do right, we have right actions, right words. We're glorifying Him in our body. Do you know you can glorify Him in your spirit? You ever seen somebody that just had a real good spirit? They were just a happy person to be around. But have you ever seen anybody that was just horrible to be around? I mean, every time, I mean, it's one thing to have a bad day. But there's just some people out there that's just got a bad spirit. They're either angry all the time or they're trying to find fault with somebody all the time. That's not a glorifying spirit, is it? You know, the Bible talks about he that's poor in spirit. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. Now, poor in spirit is, he's not talking about being poor as far as money and monetary things is concerned. He's talking about being poor in spirit is having a humble spirit. How many of us have a humble spirit? Have a spirit of humility about us. Some people have a great spirit while others have a mean spirit. But our body has been bought and paid for, so it is in our body that we glorify and honor the Lord, which are God's. But then notice, he said, not only did we find the payment for our body, but then in the text verse, he said that there is a presentation of our body. A presentation. So we're to present our body. Notice how he said, you know what to present means, don't you? It's like present. You know, if we give somebody a present, then we give it to them, don't we? You know, when you present something, you're offering it to them. Notice how Paul said right here, that you, are we doing okay this morning? We all right? I knew we were going to shout it out, boy. I mean, you start talking about living in separation, and boy, I'm telling you, people, just, they get nervous. They get nervous. He said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know the word sacrifice? I sat down and I really thought about this, and I know what the sacrifice was all through the Old Testament, and what Christ was a sacrifice, and that to God for us. But the definition of it means to offer to God in homage or worship by killing and consuming as a victim on an altar, either as an atonement for sin, to procure favor, or to express thankfulness. It means to destroy or to surrender or to suffer to be lost for the sake of obtaining something else. So he said that we're to present our body a living sacrifice. We present us in submission and that to God's will for our life. What have I told you all over the years? Well, probably not over the years, but just the past few years. I always thought that it would get easier to live for the Lord the older I got. Now, I don't fight the same battles that I fought at 20 years old. Hopefully you've not fought the same battle for 20 and 25 and 30 years. Hopefully you've got some victory over some things. But there's always new battles out there to fight. They're always out there. But he says when you make that presentation, and there's always going to be your flesh that rises up on you and wants to do something that it should not do. But Paul said in Galatians 5, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So if we become Christ, when we are Christ, then we crucify this flesh with what it wants to do and the desires that it has. Galatians 2, he put it another way. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless I live. We don't physically kill the body, but we mortify the flesh. That means to make something dead while another part lives. So he said that we present our body a living sacrifice. There's always going to be things that your flesh is going to rire up and want to do, but in pleasing and serving God, we're not going to be able to do them. And we shouldn't do them. You say, well, I want to do them. There's always going to... And you say it's not to... Let me see. Can I say this, that there's vile and wicked sin you just need to stay away from? But you know that there's some things that you just don't need to do, and you don't see much of a problem with it, but you still just don't need to do it because the Lord ain't pleased with it. That's just the bottom line. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I ask you something off that scripture right there? If we're serving ourselves, if we're doing what we want to do, then we're not really serving the Lord, are we? A lot of people have got to learn and understand that they cannot serve God, live for God, and that apart from the church. Just can't do it. People think they can do it. They can't do it. But let me give you an example. I heard a preacher this past week use this example. And I thought this was a wonderful example. How many hours are there in a week? Do you know how many hours are in a week? Real fast. How many? 168, ain't there? 168? Marvin had it. Now, I don't know if he had that memorized or not, or if it, math was that quick. 24 sevens is 168. How many do we spend in church? At the best, 5.5, 6 hours.
I mean, we're going to be here for roughly about maybe, I'm not going to preach till 12:30, so we ain't probably going to be here for 2.5 hours today if you come for Sunday school. You come tonight, we might be here an hour and 20 minutes, and then maybe an hour and 10 minutes, hour and 15 minutes on Wednesday night. That ain't a whole lot of time, is it? But yet that wires people out. I mean, wires them out. Hey, and I'll be honest with you, the world looks at you like you're crazy if you go to church 3 times a week. If you spend 6 hours at church out of 168, they think you're crazy. Now, living for the Lord does not start and stop in this building. Amen? Your separation is not only tied to coming to church and going home. Amen? It's what we do while we're out there. How we live. Well, hey, listen, you come in here and live good. We only, what did the preacher just say? We only hear five and a half hours. You can put on the show pretty good for 5.5 hours. I can put on the show pretty good for 5.5 hours. That's what we do the rest of the time. He says to be a living sacrifice. As you grow in the Lord, you know, he said in First Peter 2, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So as we grow in the Lord and as we read our Bible and as we pray and as we study, we come to find out that there are things that the Lord wants us to do and things he don't want us to do and things that we need to be separated. And I'll be honest with you, I think that the more that we grow in him, the more we shouldn't want to do those things, the more we shouldn't want to be like the world. I mean, our desires, once you get saved and you grow in Him, our desires ought to change. He said, a living sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, here I am. You use me as you please. How many of us have made that statement? That is a very, that's a big statement to make to the Heavenly Father. You know, it's kind of like Isaiah said over in Isaiah 6, you know. Here am I, send me, Lord. How many of us are holding our hand up going, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I know this ain't dealing a lot hammering on separation, but listen, God wants us to be separated out of this world, separated, and that to Him. He wants us to be for Him, not for us, and not for the world, but for Him. Notice he said for us to be holy. When that sacrifice is made, the Bible talks about all through the Levitical law and all through the Old Testament and what Christ done. He said it was a sweet savor unto him. He saw the sacrifice, but when they burned that meat and the incense and the bread and all those things that from here on earth as they traveled to heaven, God smelled them and it was a sweet savor unto him. He loved it. But then he tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We're going to have to tell us no so that we might please him sometimes. But then he said for us to be what? Holy. He said to be holy, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice holy. I mean, boy, now when we really start thinking about what holy means, to be hallowed and to be set apart for God's Word and His use and His work. But yeah, I mean, but to be honest with you, holy simply means to be whole. Whole. You know, to be entire or to be perfect, not lacking. You know, God don't lack in anything, does He? You know, 1 Peter 1, he said, I believe it was in verse 16, he said, be ye holy for I am holy. God wants us to be like Him. Not like the world, He wants us to be like Him. Take your Bible, I want you to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You got a Bible in your hand? Flip over to 2 Corinthians 7. I want you to see this. We're talking about living holy. A lot of people, they get tore up with holy living. They don't want to live holy and they don't think they can live holy. Well, I got to sin some. I'm going to mess up, preacher. I know we're going to mess it up. But that ain't no reason to mess it up. That ain't no reason not to strive. That ain't no reason that we shouldn't strive to be holy. Look at 2 Corinthians 7. Look at verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves From what? From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Who does that? Who does that? Well, we do. He said, let us. Let us do that. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. There that spirit is again, ain't it? Remember what we read a few minutes ago? That we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. He says right here that we're to what? We're to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. God will not make you live right. He will not. He will not make you get out of this world. He will not stop you from having worldly ways. Now, He'll beat on you. He'll chasten you. And He may take you out of the world eventually if you just want to keep on going down the wrong road. But He will not make you live right. He expects us and that to have a part in making ourselves clean on the outside. Now, I'm not preaching work salvation. But I am preaching work separation. Amen? All right. Boy, it's exciting, ain't it? As Brother Ralph says, are we doing okay? Let me put my glasses up here where I can see. Sometimes I look across my glasses out of habit. Sometimes it's because I don't want to see. He said, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, there it is, in the fear of God. So when we separate ourselves, we cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, then we can start on living and being holy, and that to God. Ephesians chapter 4, we go back to what we read at the beginning of the message, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. It's your decision whether you want to live for God. If you're saved, I believe that He can give you the strength and the power. He can give you the unction and the courage and that to live separate from this world. I think He can do it. It's all up to us if that's what we want to do. It's up to us to turn the TV off and read our Bible. Hello? It's up to you to not do something that you really want to do and spend time in prayer with God. Do you know that I can always find something else I'd rather do as to pray? Unless something bad's happening. And then, boy, we really want to pray then, don't we? I remember when they put Kelly in the hospital, I was praying all the time, man. And put her in the hospital. I bet when Carter was in the hospital, y'all prayed all the time, didn't you? We did, boy. I mean, when he was sick, prayed and prayed and prayed. Still praying for him to be healthy. Amen. Pray for all these youngins to be healthy. Pray for you to be healthy. Y'all pray for me to be healthy? I hope so. I want to be healthy, Brother Martin. I do. I don't know how we got there. Boy, ain't that good. But we don't spend time in doing something that He wants us to do. How about in witnessing? How about in witnessing? Well, that's something that you've got to train yourself to do. Oh, I know that you may get concerned for somebody in your family or a friend, but I'm talking about going out and handing out tracts. I'm talking about door knocking. You know, we don't door knock anymore, do we? I'm just saying sometimes we have to separate ourselves off from some things that we want to do and go follow Him. He said in the book of Luke, I believe it is chapter 9, He said, if any man will come after me, He said, let him what? What did He say? Deny himself. That's the very first thing He said. He said, if any man will come after me, first let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That cross, them boys knew what that cross meant. It was a sacrifice. Christ hadn't been to Calvary, but they knew all about that cross. Don't let me lose you. 2 Peter put it like this, and I'm going to move on, okay? We're running out of time. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. World's going to go away. Everything in this world's going to go away. Be burned up in a moment of time. All gone. And you know what He said? Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. If all this world is going to go away and all the actions that we've had and whatever we've hoped to accomplish and what we did accomplish out there in the world for ourselves and not for Him. He said, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He said, if it's all going to burn up, that stuff don't matter. He said, but how we were in holiness and in godliness is what matters. Notice what he said right here, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, living for God, and then he said acceptable unto God. Does God accept the way you live? You know, that's what we ought to be looking for, is the acceptable will of God. What does God want out of my life? Does God accept what I give him? When I read this, I thought about Korah over in Numbers chapter 16. And Korah and 250 men of renown, and there's a couple other men over there that Korah had on his side, and they were against Moses and Aaron. And they told Moses, said, you lift yourself up, Moses, and you take too much on you. He said, we're all holy. The whole congregation of Israel's holy, you know. And the Bible said that Moses ended up on his face over there praying, and he said, and he asked Korah, and Korah was a Levite. You know, they got to minister in the tabernacle. And he says, you know, he said, God chose y'all to minister in his tabernacle. Now you want to take the place of the priest. So, and he said, we're going to find out who God accepts. And so they put that fire in them censers, you know, and the next day, and God chose who he accepted. And that was Moses and Aaron. And the earth opened up and swallowed up everybody else. And then the plague came. God showed who he chose. You know why? Because Moses and Aaron was trying to follow the Lord. And Korah and his men was trying to follow their self and do their own thing the way they wanted to. I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to accept you when you try and do it your way. But then I want you to see right here that he says, which is your reasonable service. So we find the performance that we're to have is just simply reasonable. You know, living for God is not unreasonable. It's just reasonable. You look, and you look in the Oxford Dictionary, and he says that reasonable means fair and sensible. The Webster's 1828 says not excessive or unjust. It's just reasonable. I think little John put it this way. 1 John 5:3, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I think God wants us to be separated out of this world. Look in verse 2. I did not intend to preach this, but I'm going to move on with it. I think he wants me to preach something else tonight, so that's what we're going to do. Look in verse 2. I'm not going to hang with it too long because I about covered it. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know, conform means to be alike. We're to make a presentation of our body unto the Lord in verse 1, and now there is to be a transformation of us. He says, don't be conformed. You know what to be conformed means? To be like. Now, don't let me lose you, okay? Don't let me lose you. But you know that we've got too much Christianity that's conforming to this world. They want to dress like the world. They want to act like the world. Churches are dragging the music of the world in. You've got the music of the world in your home and in your car. Hello? I don't want to be anything like the world. You know, Jesus said in the book of Little John over there, as he wrote, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He didn't say, love God this much and the world this much. He said, love not the world. Man, the world has so much and that to offer, don't it? I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. We're talking about being conformed to this world. Conformed means to be like Okay? He warns us not to love the world in 1 John 2, nor to be like the world. And in Exodus chapter 32, the children of Israel, they've just been brought out of bondage. They've been brought up out of the land of Egypt. It's not too long ago that God brought them up, showed them all these great miracles, but yet in verse 1, the Bible says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tune. I always need to remember that. After that, he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Now you see right there, remember what I've always told you? They've mingled in that, they mingled idol worship with heavenly worship. And they rose up early on tomorrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down for thy people. I love the Lord right here. He said, for thy people which thou brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. God wasn't claiming them. God said, Moses, thy people that thou brought us out. It's like you mamas saying to those daddies, your son, look what your son done. Mama ain't claiming him for sure. He said, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. You'll find out that, man, they were down there dancing and got naked and everything else. They were acting just like the world. Where did they learn that? They learned that when they lived in Egypt. They've come up out of Egypt. They made them a molten calf over there because Moses ain't nowhere around. He's up there on the mount receiving the law of God to bring back down to the children of Israel. And given just a little bit of time, and they've already slipped back off into their old ways. I don't give young Christians, newborn Christians, a hard time when they mess things up because they got to learn. And as long as they keep trying to learn, I'll never forget there's a young fella that got saved, not a young fella, there's a fella that got saved here to church one time, and I remember what he told me, and listen, he had lived a rough life and he got saved, and he come to me a few weeks later, and him and his neighbors had been into it, and he had said some things to his neighbors and done some things toward his neighbors that he shouldn't have done. But he said, you know what, after I done it, he said, I went in there in the house, got in there in the bathroom by myself, and he said, boy, I just cried and asked God to forgive me for it. You know, until he got saved, he'd have never done nothing like that. You understand what I'm saying? He'd have never done anything like that until he got saved. But you know, it's when we keep on and on and on. We never look and we never ask the Lord to forgive us or any of those things. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. Then we just grow cold on the inside. And we just keep on going our own way. You know, God expects you to do right. And He expects us to be that peculiar people. And to have that transformation. Not to be conformed to this world. But be transformed out of it. He wants us to be different than this world. He says you do it by the renewing of your mind. He said that what? He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You put right things, good things. You dwell on good things. You say, how do you do that? You keep your mind busy. You put it in the Word of God. Listen, you just do your best to serve Him with what He's gave you to serve with. Is that not what David done? David used what he had to be able to serve God how God wanted. What do you mean? He had a sling and five smooth stones, and he went and served God. a shepherd's bag and a staff. And that's sling. And that's what he used to serve God. He wants a transformation. Wants us to be different. God's people don't seem to be real different. It seems like a lot of time. I'm talking about as a whole. As a whole, listen, our light ought to be so bright because we're different today. This world should be able to look at us and stand us. I believe instead of us getting brighter and making a difference in the world, we've got used to the dark. I think there ought to be a transformation about us. I said this the other day. Don't think that I got my own problems, okay? Your preacher's got his own problems. And I'll be honest with you, I wish that I could live and be the person that some of y'all think that I am. And I'll never forget, Brother Seals taught me this. He said, you know, Mark, he said, there's some men that I just don't get close to because that'll knock the shine off of them. He said, you come to find out that, listen, not that they're messing up something horribly or anything, but you just come to find out they're human, they got problems too. But you know what? I strive. Not only do I want to be the pastor that you want me to be, but friend, I just want to be the person, the Christian, that God wants me to be. And I can't do that if I was out here living in the world. Now he said, prove. You do these things to prove what the will of God is. It's good. It's good to know God's will. It's good. And he will accept you when you do his will. And it'll be perfect for you to do that. He just simply wants us to be separated out of this world. Do you know you can't spend hours and hours on a video game and expect to be serving God. You can't spend hours and hours in front of a TV, in front of this thing, and expect to serve God. It's going to take some time here. It's going to take some time there to serve God. And it's going to take a change. It's going to take a change of us making a difference in our life. Let's bow our heads today. As they come and get a verse of invitation, fellas, come on.